There's nothing worth more that can ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope. Your presence, Lord. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. Our feet come free and my shame is tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come.
The night is long, when I yearn for thee, peace to come, I strain to hear your song. Over me. with your arms around me, your peace arouse me. May it only be you I cling to. I set out on this road so many voices call out to my soul.
Come and take control.
Amen.
This morning. Amen. Yes. Let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. Enjoy the song service. Amen. Such beautiful songs and beautiful talents. It's for the Lord. It's always a blessing. Just welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's Mother's Day. I want to welcome all the mothers. Have some of them gone this morning. We miss them. But just want to say welcome. And we honor you today. We're going to talk about the gift of motherhood this morning. And like I said in many times past, I'm not so much of one to speak on a topic of a holiday, but sometimes the Lord lets me do it. So today we're going to talk about the gift of motherhood. And probably won't tell you anything you don't know, but maybe the Lord will let you see something in the light, in a direction or an angle that maybe will help you. I believe that He will. So we'll open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. very familiar scripture with the virtues of a good woman. Proverbs 31, we begin reading at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? It's a good question, isn't it? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Unless you're Brother Kenneth, and then your wife's name is Ruby. So I always thought that was funny, you know. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Amen. And let's just bow our hearts together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity that you've given us today to be in your house, to be with your people, and Lord, to be able just to assemble around your word and to know that your presence is among us, Lord. It just means so much to us. And so, God, we just want to take this time that's before us and just give it to you. And ask, Lord, that you would use the gift that you put on this earth, and Lord, that you would cause each one of us just to yield to you, and Lord, that your program would be advanced this morning, and this assembly would be edified, and God, that you would just be among your people. That's all that we look for, Lord. We want to surrender to you and let you have your way in such a way that you could come and live through us more each day. Lord, we don't need any fancy thing, any great things, but just to have your presence living among us. That's what we all long for. So we're asking God this morning that you would do so. And bless those, Lord, that will be traveling today and those that are out this morning. And ask God for a special blessing upon the Wheeler family, Lord, that you would be that comforter to them and help them to know that you're with them. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
So we have this day today that's called Mother's Day. And I say this all the time. I hope you don't get tired of it. I think that probably my whole entire life in ministry will be a great portion of it be this one thing, and that is to point you to the message that God has given us today, because until we see through God's eyes, then we're not seeing right. If we don't see it through his eyes, we're not seeing it the right way. If we don't think it with his thoughts, we're not thinking it the right way. And so we know that God, I actually heard Billy Paul say this one time, and maybe it might not, you know, might seem offensive if you don't really understand what he was trying to say, but it's true. Mm-hmm. And he said, God sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins. And he sent Brother Brandon to tell you the truth. And that's right. That's exactly right. God had that picked out, and that God would do so much in this day that we would know truth. And so this message has come to enable us to see it through his eyes and to think it his way, and to such a degree that we become him. She is him,
yeah.
Right? That we become one with him, not as one, but we become one. And so my job as a minister is to always point you in the direction that on any topic, whatever you're talking about, whether it's Mother's Day or anything like this, to point you to the scriptures and point you to the message which is enlightening us to the scriptures. We know it's absolutely in line. There's nothing contrary in the message that's contrary to scriptures, but the message is like a light that has been shined on the scriptures so that the amount of recognition we get from the Bible becomes greater, that even the Bible becomes a new book to us, right? And when that Bible becomes a new book, it causes us to be able to live what the revelation we receive from it.
That's right.
So this whole thing has come to empower us to live Jesus Christ, to be Jesus Christ, that as we walk and as we go and do the things we do, it's actually him doing it. So naturally, if it's him doing it, we see through his eyes, we talk with his talk, we hear with his ears. Right?
Yeah.
We have the compassion that he has. And so we talk about Mother's Day today, and so we want to obviously turn to the message and see if that we can get the right attitude and the right understanding about what Mother's Day is and what's going on with it. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. And so we're going to turn to the message as we always do. We find out, and I'll read a quote here in just a minute, but we find out that from the message, and it's true that Mother's Day, just like all these other holidays, it's something that's just a commercial thing, really, more than anything. Brother Branham said that Mother's Day really is every day. 365, he said, days and nights out of the year is Mother's Day. And you know, this is how Satan does. He takes something that's real and that's true, and he tries to channel it into a little old, you know, little something that he can capitalize off of. And remember, I told Brother Daniel, we was talking about, you know, the traditions of Mother's Day and all the commercialism. I said, you can thank the Catholic Church for that, because remember, all the merchants of the earth became rich through her. Through her holidays and through all these things she puts in place. And so this is the thing that Brother Branham didn't like about all these holidays. Was one of the things that he didn't like about it was the commercialism that they have created. And so Mother's Day should be every day of the year, but they turn around and take something where people should honor their mothers 365 days a year, unless it's a leap year, and that's 366 days. And they take that and they make one day out of it. So it's okay on one day we're gonna honor mom, and the rest of the time you don't have to. Now they may not tell you that, but that's the way they live. That's the way their whole program is laid out. You honor mom, really honor her one day, and the rest of the time you don't really have to. You know, you're not really living that way. When Brother Ram says you should all the time, and it's true, you should all the time. And so, you know, it makes me, I was thinking about this scripture where Jesus was challenged him, and he said, you, by your tradition, make the commandments of God of none effect, because the scripture says for you to honor your father and your mother, and that means to take care of them when they get old. That's right. That's part of it. And so, but they come along and they had a tradition and said, well, and you read the different versions of how it's stated in the different gospels, and one of them you'll find where he says, you suffer them not to do any more for your parents. Because you made it such that you could say, well, I'm going to help my parents, and this is really just a gift that I'm, and I'm not really obligated to do it, but I'm just going to do it because it's a gift. I'm just helping you. And he said, you've taken away and you've made that commandment of God of none effect because you've done it this way. And that's what reminds me of, that when we should honor mothers all the time, but then we just focus it down and say just one day is okay, and the rest of the time you just, you know, we do whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you get the idea of what I'm talking about there. So let me read a quote to you. This comes from the Mother's Day message. And then I'll pull from different things from this as we go. Brother Branham says, and this is in 1959, he said, you see, a child listens to its mother. Some little touch about that mother that a child would listen to. Supposed to be. He's right. I'm not trying to contradict him, but supposed to be. This is the way it should be. And it's true. A child will listen to. When it hurts, it'll go to the mother for consolation before it'll go to the father. Because she was first with it, you know, and there's some gift that God gives a mother to be that way. I mean a real mother. Now, I believe that mothers are honorable and godly, but I believe such as Mother's Day like this is a racket. Make a lot of money out of flowers and things. But Mother's Day should be every day. Not to send her a bunch of flowers on Mother's Day, but to love her and care for her 365 days and nights through the year. But of course, the commercial world has got a great hold on things like this, and it depreciates Mother. What they've done to it has actually depreciated the value of motherhood. That's what he says. Oh, well, last Mother's Day, I sent her a bunch of flowers. She'd appreciate it a whole lot more just to sit down and talk to her a little bit, write her a line, pat her on the shoulders, kiss her on the neck, tell her you love her. It'll go a lot further than all the flowers that you could buy from the florist. That's true. Amen? I told Brother Matthew yesterday, he said, I think something was said about they hadn't got a gift or his mother, and I said, go message rank. Just go see her. and say, God, I give you the best thing there is. I'm here to visit with you. You don't have to bring a gift or whatever, but you know, kind of halfway. But there's a truth to that.
Right.
But the way of the world is to be religious, but water it down from the truth of what it really should be and just do something that's similar to that, have a form of godliness, but not really be right, and miss so much. And so Brother Branham tells there, he says that mother's a gift. She's got a little gift, and that's why I wanted to title this A Gift of Motherhood. So mothers should be honored 365 days a year because of who she is, and who she is, she's a gift. And I mentioned the other day about talents last week, about talents, and talents being, well, we can kind of interchange talents and gifts. Somebody's gifted with music, gifted with a gift of playing instruments or whatever it is. It's something that God has given them, that a power and ability that they've been given, that just others might try and work ever so hard to do and not be able to do it, but they naturally have it. So mothers just naturally have this way of being mother, and nobody else can do this. No man can do this. No man can play the part of a mother like a mother can. Not even close.
Right.
Stupid even thinking. Yeah. But we've got people out in the world that think that. Yeah. And so she's gifted. She is a gift from God that God has sent to minister out as a mother to her children and so forth. And so she's that gift, a lifelong helper and a lifelong comfort to the children. And so, you know, when I said a while ago, to see through God's eyes and to understand it in God's ways, then if we truly have the revelation looking through God's eyes, then the gift that we have within ourselves, we'll know how to minister that gift to others. And then others also, who, if they're filled with the Holy Ghost, have the revelation of God, they'll know how to honor and respect and receive full benefits from that gift. So I speak to you children and to young people and to all of us that to truly understand the revelation of motherhood the way God made it, then you become a beneficiary, because when you honor that gift the way God sent it and what he gave it to be, when you do that, you're the one that comes out blessed.
Right?
You're the one that gets blessed, because why did he send her? Why does God send gifts among his church? Why does he enable someone to be really good at something? It's not for themselves.
Right.
It's that they might touch other lives. And so when we're talking about motherhood, it's to touch the lives of the children. But it goes much further than that. And so that's why he sends those here. And so they should be honored for what they are, for the power and the ability and the magnitude. It was not a light thing to speak evil or do something evil against a mother in Israel, because it's very serious.
Right.
And so we'll just kind of advance on as we talk about this. So God sent mother here to be mother. And I want to say this, that mother can be mother when mother's a real mother. That's Jesus Christ doing that in her. And when a father's being a good dad, that's Jesus Christ being a good dad. When your pastor, your minister is being a pastor or minister, that's Christ doing it. You understand?
Yeah.
It's him doing everything. That is, if we are in tune with him and being led by him, then it's an expression of him. So children, when your mother's being mother, and she's a godly mother, you're staring Jesus Christ, a gift of God, right in your face that's there for you to bless you. And you don't want to kick against that. You want to learn what that cycle is of that gift coming to you to bless you, and reciprocate that, and let that be a reciprocating relationship that you have, and you'll be the one that comes out blessed, you and generations after you, to recognize that gift among you.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, if America, if all the people were Christians that believed, says they believe, if they would receive the gift of God that was among them, the Holy Ghost, which is a gift, but your mother's a gift, your dad's a gift, your ministry's a gift.
Yeah.
See, if we could just learn to receive these gifts that come from God, and remember the scripture says, every good gift and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, Right? It all comes from Him. Every good gift. Right? Comes from Him. So if we knew how to receive those, Brother Ram said, you would not need a military.
Right.
We would not need an army, a navy, air force, or marines. If every person that claimed to be a Christian was truly Holy Ghost filled, truly received the gift of God in this last day, we wouldn't need a military. But because we don't, we have to go to some secondary method. Right? So, God sends that gift there for you, children. So you see, when God put you in this world, He sent you here helpless. Right? God sent you here helpless. You come out of the womb, this little bitty fella, some of them's not so little, but little bitty fella absolutely can't do nothing for itself other than breathe. That's it. Now, if God had not sent somebody to tend to that little fella, remember, God always comes down and meets you where you're at. How does He do it? Well, first thing He does, He meets you with mama.
Yeah.
Right? He meets you with a gifted person, a person that's been gifted by Him, that knows how to meet you where you're at and begin to move you higher and be with you and help you. Remember we talked about this before, how God does? Right?
Yeah.
And that's what He does. So He meets you through mommy. You come into this world absolutely helpless, little bitty fella. He could have sent you here a grown man with a mustache. He could have been born that way.
Right.
Instead of being, wah, you rah, come out like a man.
Yeah.
You know, He could have done whatever He wanted, but He brought you here helpless.
Yeah. Right.
And He never sends you somewhere in a condition, but what He gives you what you need at that condition.
That's
right. So He sends you here helpless because He knew He also had somebody that would be there and tend to you, and that's mommy. Someone gifted sufficient to do that. Someone who could love you and be tender towards you like you need. And so you come here helpless, and you see, when you were formed underneath mama's heart. So before you ever come to this world, and you know, coming out of the womb into this world, now I don't remember it, and if you remember it, you're a very special person. I don't think anybody remembers this, okay? But I can't remember back more than about probably 9 months or year and a half old, somewhere in there, about the best I can tell. Some people maybe a little further. But you don't remember, but when you're birthed out of that world that you're in, and you come here, it's not a pleasant thing for that baby. This is totally different. That baby would love to just stay in there.
Right.
Everything's fine, you know. So this is the first of many major steps through life that this child goes through, is to leave that mother's womb and come out into a world that's, oh my goodness, what's going on? But you see, while you're there in that womb, you're being formed. You are coming into formation and creation, or however you want to talk about it. And that heart, that mother's heart's already beating there when them cells first start dividing. And that mother's voice is right there. And as you're being formed, you're already being formed in a situation where you're familiar with that heartbeat and you're familiar with that mother's voice. And so what you find out is that when you're birthed, you're coming into a strange world and a strange experience, something maybe you don't want to have to do, but you have to do it. That you're born and take you out, and the first thing they do is lay you on mama's breast, upon her chest. And that ear can hear that heartbeat. You're in a strange world, but you're drawn from a familiar, you know, family is familiar. You're drawn from familiarity that has already been put there by God. And He put that baby on mama's, on her chest, and He can hear that heartbeat, and He can hear that mama's voice, and it receives comfort and begins to nurse. And so while this child is having to go forward into life, experience new things that are something that's afraid and fretful and don't know, you know, but there's comfort there that God has provided from a previous stage in your walk. that he established there, and it just that mama's heartbeat and her voice. And so while that child is in a strange world, it can draw comfort from those things it's familiar with and begin to nurse, and that becomes something else that the child draws strength from. And so you're migrating from the womb outward and from mama's breast outward. And every time God takes you a little bit further, you can draw from the experience and the strength and the things that mommy has been for you, starting with that heartbeat, starting with those things. Brother Bram said, you take a little fella and try to put him on another woman's breast, and he said that little fella will kick his feet up and go to screaming because he knows mama. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Why? It's not comfortable to him to be, see? And so, you know, you youngins didn't know all this was going on, but it's there, this little connection you have with your mother. And you know what? You can be 60, 70 years old, and there's still a connection to your mother, unless you've let something get in the way or she's let something get in the way. It's just naturally there. Brother Brim said, I know a man. Said he's got a problem drinking. Brother Brim said he was about his age. He said, but when he goes out and gets drunk, he'll go to his mother's house and lay down beside her in her bed because of that comfort, something he was longing for, something he's seeking for. He said, I'm not saying anything bad about the woman, but just something he was seeking there that he could always find that comfort and that peace from mama. And so God brought you forth that way in each stage of each step. You know, when you go out and she begins to teach you, give you food that's strong food, and at some point you have to be weaned. And it's just a process that is there of different stages. And so, you know, when you're born in this world being helpless, you know, somebody has to make a living. And somebody has to go out there and work in the field and bear the heat of the day, 100 degree temperature, right? Somebody has to do that. And daddy does that. In God's economy, dad goes out and works, mama takes care of the babies. And I know the world don't like that, but there's a reason why he made it this way. And so, you know, dad goes out there and makes the living in the heat of the day, and mama's at home taking care of the babies. And I might comment on this a little bit later as we get a little further through here. And so, Brother Bam says, he tells us, he says, she is the backbone of any nation. We've said this before, of this nation and any nation. She's the backbone. He did not say that the man is. He did not say that if the man will go out, I tell you what, if men will teach their boys how to be hard workers, and they'll go out and build strong bridges and good highways and tall skyscrapers, and they do that'll be the backbone of any nation. He didn't say that.
No.
If you go out and get a college education, you become this, you become... He didn't say that was the backbone. He said motherhood. Motherhood is the backbone of any nation. And so, and I believe that when you start looking through his eyes and God's eyes, you see this. So he didn't say that about the man, but he did say that about mommy. And the reason why, there's many reasons, but the reason why is because she gets the child first. She gets the child first. And when that child is born, even in the womb it starts, but it's born in... And I don't know what the age is, but by the time that child, I'll just use the age of 7. I don't know if that's what it is, but we'll just use the age 7. By the time that child is age 7, whatever's been taught that child, whatever's been instilled into that child, that's the way that child will go for the rest of their life. And everything they do in their life is going to go back to that foundation, and it's all going to be affected by what that foundation was. And who was it that had that child to form that foundation? Was mama. She got a blank slate. Brand new fresh heart can teach that baby. And she can teach that baby to be like Herodias, or you know, is that was her name? Herod's woman Herod married, or whatever her name was. To be like that daughter, or you could teach her to be like one of the godly sisters in the church in the Bible that we read about. And so you have a blank slate there to teach that child. And so they become, she's the backbone of a nation because she can teach that child, and she can fill the nation with Holy Ghost filled men and women. That mother can. Takes a while, but by raising them in the admonition of God, raising them correctly, she can send that child forth a Holy Ghost-filled person, and whether they become president or a congressman, a Senate, House of Representative, a governor of a state, mayor of a city, a police chief, that made no difference. They would send them out, and they'll all be Holy Ghost-filled people and operate their position in the government or wherever they are in schools by the dictates of the Holy Ghost. And who caused that to happen? Mama did. That's why she's the backbone of a nation. Because what society becomes has to do with what she has done. That's why the scripture said that a child left to themselves will bring his mother to shame. Not dad. He's ashamed too, right? But mother to shame. Why? Because what he is out there when he's grown is a reflection of what she did back at home, because she got him first.
Yeah, right.
Or got her first. So Satan comes along and lies to you, sisters, and tells you that this place where you have at home raising kids and all that, and I know people I went to school with that are rising to the high corporate positions, women who are president of corporations, and they command all these things, and high, you know, congressmen and senators and all that, and you know, Satan lied to you and tell you that you're trodden down, you're beat down. This is a less important position you have, and you ought to be out there with a career, making great money and having all these people underneath you. And it's a lie from the devil, because you could do more for this world back at home with them children than you can out there. To be out there doing that is a perversion.
Right.
To be back here doing what's right is exactly what God ordained in the first place. But Satan lied, and we go with it. I can show you a quote where Brother Man's talking about Mother's Day and holidays, and he says, and we go with it. And he said, it ought not be.
Right.
We just ride along in there. Catholic Church says, let me give you a holiday. Now you go celebrate it, and we just go right along with it. And we shouldn't. Do you know Brother Brown said he could not wear that flower on Mother's Day? He said, because my mother's not dead. He said, if I'd wear that, it'd be a stumbling block, because she's not dead. She's alive. And she had already passed on. See? Brother Branham's telling us we should kick against this stuff. We should not receive this stuff. We should endeavor to keep it with the Bible, keep it in the scriptures, what it's supposed to be, and let the world do what they want. But let's be real and genuine, expressing Jesus Christ and his program from the scriptures, and let them do whatever.
Right.
And so she gets them first. So if she got them first, and the world was filled with Holy Ghost-filled people, prayed up, Holy Ghost-filled people, right? Everybody with me? She could influence that. That's what she could have, and that'd be the backbone of a nation. If that's what she was doing, we wouldn't need an army. Wouldn't need a military. Yeah. We wouldn't. That's the way out. That's, you know, I took two different things that Brother Branham said right there to show you that if everybody who said they was a Christian received the gift of God, the Holy Ghost, truly, and mother has the influence to cause that child to be raised up in the way to go right, having that experience with God, then we wouldn't even need a military.
Right.
But did you know that he said, and I think starting in 1956, I guess it was, or 57, or in 57, he said, brother, you know, in 56, he said, America will either receive the gospel this year or won't. And in January of 57, I looked it up, found it first time he said it. In January of 57, he said, they never will. They turned away their chance last year, which was 1956. He said, they'll never, it'll never. He said, from now on, you could put an Abraham Lincoln and a George Washington in every county and it won't bring it back.
Right.
Now, if Mama was doing what she was doing, she could fill the world full of those guys, but it's too late. Because now, even if she did, could, if she could send them out there and had a men and character like Abraham Lincoln, George Washington out there in every county, and there's 75 counties in Arkansas, I believe, so I don't know how many there is in the whole nation. But that's a lot of godly people in high public office. He said it won't bring it back. Why? Because their day of grace is gone. They missed it. Right? So from that, we know that there won't be a surge of mamas filling the world with Holy Ghost filled leaders.
Right.
It's not going to happen. See? They can do that. But what about us? What about our homes? What about the influence we carry? We can still have those things. We can still have the things that God says is right. And that's why this message has come, to empower us so that we could live these things right. So she gets the children first. Did you know that concept of having the children first for so many years? Did you know Hitler knew that? Hitler said, and I forget the age, but he said, give me your children for the first, and I'll have that for the rest. Right? Did you know Islam practices that? They know that too. Get your belief system, get what the way you want them to go, and embed it into them. Make them a radical before they're a certain age, and they'll always be radical. And the only thing that can override that would be predestination of God. That's just my comment. Right? Predestination can reach and grab someone, but we don't know the predestination. We don't know who is and who isn't. Right? And we know it can happen. You know, we have to teach it and tell our young people to seek after God, seek after a mate, follow after the way we know it's supposed to be. And it might be they mess up. They might mess up. I don't, you know, and wind up what we think is wrong and find out that that person they've got by the predestination of God is the Holy Ghost-filled message believer to be.
Right.
And eventually come in. My wife and I weren't serving God when we married. Right? I didn't have that on my mind. I never heard of William Branham.
Yeah.
But I believe there's a predestinated seed there. Right?
Right?
So, you see. But anyway, that's how serious it is of her having them children at first. Because she can fill the nation with good, godly people. It would have an impact.
Yeah.
No need for a military when it's like that. But you see, Satan attacked it. Satan attacked motherhood. Remember how Brother Branham said that Satan invaded the United States? Remember how he said Satan got here and invaded the United States? Through Hollywood.
Sure.
Satan, you invaded the United States of America through Hollywood. This is a prophet saying that. He wasn't just rattling. He knew what he's talking about. But Satan had a plan. I got to take America down. I got to take this nation down away from being a good, godly Christian nation. How am I going to do it? Well, I'm going to get the women. And I'm going to start by Hollywood. And I'm going to bring in, I'm going to come in through Hollywood. And Brother Bram said they used to go to the picture show, but now they just bring it into their house and they watch it on their TVs in Hollywood. And you got that influence of Hollywood. And when I was a kid growing up, I guess they still do. I know they do, because sometimes I go to the dentist and have to sit there in the dentist office, sitting in the chair waiting for them to call me back. And they got the TV on. And they got the soap operas on. But I remember that. My mother watched those when I was growing up. And it was all the filth you can think of. And they're sitting watching that all day long. And don't you know that desensitizes?
Sure, right.
That when a woman would never think about stepping out on her husband, but she watches that for about 5 or 6, 7 years, and it's going on all the time, and she becomes desensitized, and eventually she goes and does it. Maybe she gets into a fuss, a fight, arguments, disagreements, down in Mully Grubs, whatever. She runs out on her husband.
Yeah.
And it's all because of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So that influence got in. And what was the sole purpose? Tear down the backbone.
Right. Yeah.
Tear down motherhood. Use Hollywood and fashions and all these things like that to tear down motherhood. And so he did. He come through and soap operas and so forth, and brought a perversion in. You know, the mother has a tender nature. Brother Brandon mentioned that. She just has that something there. She has a tender nature that I'll tell you a man doesn't have. You know, I remember back when I was having some work done out at the house. There was some dozer work and backhoe work, cleaning up trees and stuff. And we had built the house, but there were still some other things there. It looked different than it does now. And so we had a guy out there working in Mark D. Water. And, you know, when you got a great old big machine that weighs who knows how many thousands of pounds, you know, you're not going to tell him to come up there next to your house at the foundation and dig a small hole for a rose bush and do that with a giant machine. Because one wrong movement, he's going to crash your foundation with his bucket. And I remember I forget what it was, but he was doing something and he hit with his machine something of mine. I don't even remember what it is now. And he's like, oops, you know, just a little bump. And it was, you know, a devastated the power that's there. And so I said all that to say this. You got this newborn baby that comes out. And, you know, a woman has that tender, loving nature that can tend to that child. And the man does not. A man is supposed to be a man. He's supposed to have hair on his chest and get out there and bear the heat of the day. And so he's gifted different, and he's not supposed to have that tender nature. Because remember, I've said it here recently, I don't know if I have here, but I've mentioned it, that if a man and woman both have the same weaknesses, if they're all identical, both identical, they both have the same weaknesses, guess what? Satan's going to have a heyday. Mm-hmm. Right? So you marry someone, it's got to be different than you, and yet there's an attraction there, but so that when one has a weakness, the other, or vice versa. And so you understand what I'm saying. So God has to make the man with the strength and the roughness and the gruffness. Why? Because there's a time where that's needed. There's areas where it needs to be just suck it up, get up and walk it off and go on. Yeah. But there's also times when it needs to be a mommy that has that tenderness. And so, you know, when dad's going out and he's going to go out and he's going to cut weed or whatever it is for the day, work out, and it's 100 degrees out there, and he's going to take this newborn baby and strap it to his back and take that baby out in 100-degree weather and work all day. You think that's going to work? Oh. You mean while he's out there making a living in the heat of the day, somebody else with a different gift needs to be back at home with that little baby that's helpless? Right? So mommy's back at home. See? So there's a stage in that child's life where mommy is there and she gets him first and all that. And Brother Brown talked about, you know, a guide that when you were first born, first step you took, you needed someone there. And then as you went on, your school teacher and, you know, and all the different ones, and you need somebody. And at your last step, somebody needs to guide you. So he's talking about these people in your life and these gifts in your life. They're to guide you and help you along the way. And so when a person says, I don't need anybody's help, you're in big trouble, because we all need each other. We need these things that God sends among us. And so she has that tender nature, but she can also be a mama bear. Do that too. She's home taking care of the little one while the dad's out there bearing the heat of the day. Remember Adam? Adam, from the sweat of your brow, the curse had to do with what he was going to be doing. But to the woman, childbearing. See? I don't care what the world says. The Bible's clear. Man's work out there in the field was made harder because of the curse. And women's bearing child was made harder. Her work was made harder, just like his was made harder. And that's the position of them. And so she's got that tender nature. She knows how to see what's wrong with the child. You give the baby nurses, and, you know, if you're giving it a bottle or whatever, the dad, he's like, he's still hungry, give him another bottle. She knows better. She just gave him, says, no, there's something else wrong. No, he's still crying. Give him a bottle. Give him some more, you know. And mama knows better. There's something wrong, right? Next thing you know, Dad had the baby sick. Right? Mama knows more about it. You follow me. Dad would say, give him some beef jerky. that'll satisfy him, you know. He quit crying, yeah, because he's choking. Still on the beef jerky or whatever. But a bottle or nursing, you know, a mama knows those things. And so you get the picture. These gifts and her understanding is there for a purpose. And you know, without her, where would we be? Where would all of us be? I think God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Amen. So the problem comes is when you take the position of a woman and the position of a man and you crowd across them.
Yeah.
You try to mix them up. And when you do that, mix it all together and look at what you got, well, just look outside. That's what you get.
Right.
Where a man's supposed to be a man, that's one of the sickest things to me, to see a man that's sissified. And I know, there's a guy at work and he just... I know he can't help it. I know that his bone structure and the way he walks, but it's just, you know, and I'm not criticizing him, but there are men who choose a lifestyle that's like that. You understand what I'm saying? This is Sodom, the days of Sodom, but that's one of the most sickening things to me. When a man should be a man, he should, you know, and so, and the same thing with women. A woman should be a woman. And when I see a woman that's trying to do the place of a man, and it's the world we have, a woman's world, Brother Brown, see, the God of the USA or the God of this modern age, a woman, and that's what it's come to. I've heard a guy years ago was up at Westfield plant up there where I would go up there, and he's since retired, but he said, we got to the woman, she's coming through, she's an evangelist, and boy, she outpreaches every man I've ever seen. And you can't tell me that ain't God. He ain't going to hear you. He done made up his mind. She's a better preacher than all the men out there.
Yeah.
And I've seen the women preachers. I've seen them in this building years ago. And stand up and would. They preach and carry themselves with authority like a man won't.
Yeah.
And they go, man, that's God. Look at that. She's better than any man. Yeah. You know why? Because the scripture said, don't do it. She saw that and stepped over it. And the Holy Spirit also agreeing with that said, don't do it. And she stepped over it. And now, because she's rejected the word of God, she's a clean slate for the devil to jump on. And the devil jumps on her because she's totally rejected. And he says, I'll use that for my gift. And sure enough, she'll stand up and they will. They'll preach the house down. You know, I've seen it. But it's wrong. It's all wrong. There's only one way to truly raise children properly. That is with the husband and the wife, the man and the woman. And that's the only way to do it. Gifts from God. No one can touch God for you like your mama. When you're in need and your mama can go to prayer because of the love and the gift and the care that she has for you like daddy don't even have. She can go before God for you and touch him like nobody's business. How many remembers the story of the black woman and colored woman in Memphis? And that woman's prayer, that woman's desire for that child that was dying. He was about 18 years old, dying of a social disease, syphilis. And Brother Brown's airplane, a storm, I think it was, happened and caused his plane to have to drop. He was headed home to Jeffersonville, going to Louisville or wherever up there. And that storm caused that plane to come down. He had to spend the night in a hotel there. Got up the next morning, was heading to the hotel. Going to get there just in time for his flight. The Holy Spirit said, don't go, start walking down this way. And I've been down there to the airport in Memphis. And I've been down in that section of town too. I've stayed the night down there in that section of town. So I know right where Brother Brandon, maybe not the exact street, but I've been in that section and the airport where it's at. And you can just walk a little ways from the airport. You can be right there in that little section of town, which is a lot of it now. They said, just keep walking down. He's walking down in this section of town, the colored section of town. And he sees a woman, a black woman, laying out on a fence out there. And he walks up and she says, howdy, Parson. Parson means preacher.
Right.
He's like, he said, how do you know I'm a preacher? She said, I knew you was coming.
Yeah.
Now think about this. This woman's son was dying of a social disease. You know how you get that. You know what kind of disgrace that is. Right? And Brother Ram said, she said, well, you read it. She said, I knew you was coming. She said, I'm like a shoot 'em out woman in the Bible. You remember the story? Brother Ram said, yeah, I remember it. Said, well, I'm like her. I couldn't have a baby, and I promised God he'd give me a baby. I'd raise that baby to serve the Lord. And she said, I did. I served him, but he got raised him to serve the Lord, but he got in the midst of a bad crowd, and you know, he's picked up a social disease, and he's dying. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's done all they could for him. And he's laying inside there. And she said, I was praying, and I fell asleep, and I had a dream, and I saw you coming. And she said, I've been out here ever since about 4 o'clock this morning. And said her back was wet with dew because she'd been leaning there waiting on him. Mm-hmm. She wasn't playing.
Right.
She was not playing.
Mm-hmm.
We play. She was not playing.
Right.
You find out that woman's faith touched God, that God made that storm come up, caused that plane to come right down there in that city,
yeah.
caused them to wrap him there, and then led him down that way and give her that dream.
Yeah.
And she wanted him to come in. He said, my name's Branham. Do you? She said, I never heard of you. He said, well, my ministry paying for the sick. So he goes in the house there, and he said, I've been in king's palaces. I've been in big, fancy homes. And he named the kings, and Brother Burnham had. He prayed for kings.
Sure.
Because the angel told him he would, and that's what he did.
Right.
Prayed for people, kings. And he said, I've been in king's palaces. He said, but I've never felt any more at home in anybody's home than I did that woman's home.
Yeah.
He said, there wasn't a bunch of pinups on the wall. Just had a little sign there that said, God bless our home. Little old bitty room, two-room place there, little... And so he said, I got to talking to her about healing. And he said she wasn't interested in that. She wanted only to hear him, her son, say that he was saved. That's all she was interested in, that he was saved. Brother Bram said, this mother, see, remember Hattie Wright? There was another mother. When God came down, she said the right thing that pleased the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said, give her whatever she wants. And Brother Brent, she said, I don't know what to ask. Well, Brother Brent said, you're poor, ask for $1 million. Now, there was people there. And she could have said, okay, I want $1 million. I want $1 million in a briefcase or whatever, in $100 bills or whatever it would have took. She could have said it, and that's what she would have gotten. But you know, God wouldn't give that kind of thing to somebody like that.
Right.
He wouldn't give that and give that kind of ability to someone who had that kind of desire. He knew what her desire was. That mama's desire was not for the healing of Edith. It wasn't for any of these other things. The thing that was most important to that mother had to do with the eternal salvation of her children. Not a new dress, not a better home, her child, her children. Right? And this colored woman, her greatest desire wasn't that she wasn't even saying, God, don't let my boy die. She wasn't even saying that. She was just saying, God, don't let him be lost.
Right.
Let him be saved. Because that life to come is a lot more than this one will ever be.
Right.
When we go there, we'll look back on this like a dream we had when we slept one night. Because that dimension is so much more real. And see, he said she just was interested in hearing that he was saved. And she walked over and took him by the head and pulled him back and kissed him on the cheek and said, God bless mama's baby. An 18-year-old boy with a social disease. But she said, God bless mama's baby. And me standing there looking at it, I thought, yeah, that's it. No matter how much disgrace he has brought to the family, or how far he is, no matter what trouble he's in, he's still mama's baby. Isn't that true, sisters? Now, you young people, I want you to listen to this. How could you do anything to harm that? And you know Mama loves you like that. How could you do anything to dishonor Mama? No matter what he's done, he's still Mama's baby. And I thought, the Bible said a mother can forget her sucking babe, but I can't forget you. See, how much love there is. Your name is engraved in the palm of my hand. Remember I said a while ago when Mama's doing that, Mama, it's Christ in her? And the scripture said, it is possible that a woman can forget her child. It is possible. Pretty slim. But God said, I'll never forget you. You're engraved in the palm of my hand. What was in his hand? Seven stars. It's important. Amen. So nobody can touch Mama like she can. Brother Brown gets ready. He prays for the young man. And just as he begins to pray, he begins to say, it's getting light in the room. The boy did. And just in 5 minutes' time, he was sitting up on the bed. And you know, Brother Brown ran into that black man a couple of years later. Mm-hmm. And he got off of the train to get him something to eat. And there was a black man come running and said, hey, Parson. He said, I know you. He said, look at me good.
That's right.
He said, remember me? Remember that boy laying there? He said, that was me. That's the way I felt down there the other day when Brother David said, remember that girl you prayed for that had a tumor?
Yeah.
This is her standing here in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
He said, look at me. He said, I'm healed. And not only that, I'm a Christian. But that woman's faith pulled that plane out. And so Brother Branham heads back and he said, I'm 2 hours past my plane flight to leave. And he said, I walked into the airport and heard the call, last call to fly whatever it is to Jeffersonville. That even that was held up. So that, why? Because of a mother's love for a dying boy. It's not something to trifle with. Motherhood. And I'm saying this for the children to know, to respect, have a holy respect for that holy gift of God. But I'm telling it to you mothers too. You want to change the world, you've got the power to do it. You want to change the lives of your children. If you want to pull an airplane out of the sky, you could cause Air Force One to land in Fort Smith. If that's what it took to get God to meet your need. See? That's the kind of... Who arranged this? Who put this kind of a relationship together? God did. Why? Because he knows what we need. And so he put it there for that way. If you have a godly mother like this black woman, if you have a godly mother trying to point you to Christ, you better love it. You better respect it. I said a while ago, as you learn and you're familiar with her and you go into future things in life and you get to draw from that because Mama's there. One of these days God will take your mama from this earth, and when he does, she'll still be leading you and helping you and guiding you. Guiding you and calling you from that other dimension by her godly influence on your life. For me, it was my grandmother. But I'll tell you, she prayed for me and she made a difference. And I believe she's over there waiting on me. I don't know, but I believe she is. Because she always tried to teach me to do that which is right. And so I'll close by saying that we want to honor the gift of God among us. And as we said there in the scriptures, any man would love a wife who was a good mother. Because remember, she's to be his helpmate. To help him do something he couldn't do without her. Because he couldn't raise children without her. He'd never do it right. Right? So he needs her. And if she's doing it right, that husband will love it.
Yeah.
He'll honor her. And her works will praise her in the gates of the city. Remember, he said in the scripture, we didn't read it there, but it says her husband's known in the gate of the city. Her husband's known down there where the elders make all the judgments and decisions for the city and for the nation. In other words, her husband's known among the high-ranking officials that make decisions, the judges and so forth. And it says her works will praise her in the gates. What she does will be voiced down there. Why? Because for a man to be a good man, he has to have a good wife behind him. Right? And for a man to stand there and be a good judge in the gates of the city, he had to have a mama the way back there. See what I mean? So whether it's a mama or a wife, it makes a difference. Even in your life, husbands, it makes a difference. And you are empowered. As I told them there in Mexico, sisters, you can empower your husband to be the best that he can be. And it's vice versa, too. And so we want to honor the gift. The scripture says, know them that labor among you. I don't know anybody that labors any more than mothers. I don't. Because I will tell you, I don't think my wife would enjoy having to go out there in the hot weather mowing the grass. Even, you know, I'd never ask her to do it because I don't think it's her job to go out there and till the grass and till the garden or mow the grass or whatever, change the oil in the car or whatever it is. I don't ask her to do that because it's not her job. Yes. It's my job. Right? But I'll tell you real quick, tending to babies that are crying all day long wouldn't be my gift either. That would drive me nuts. And most men would probably tell you that. See? Because we're not gifted for that. And this modern world will try to tell you, well, that's terrible. You're lacking. No, I'm just what God made me. Why? God made me this way because he didn't expect me to have that tender nature for the kids like mama does. Right? So he made mama have that. So it's all there and provided for. You just have to look at it to be in the right place. Mom to be mom and dad to be dad. And so we certainly want to honor the gift among us and get in sync with what God's program is and work with it, not against it. You know, whenever these two guys are out there, big old crosscut saw, and you know, the idea is the guy on that side pulls it that way, and then you pull, when he lets go, you pull this way, and you're in sync with each other. What if you're trying to do tug of war? He's pulling and you're pulling at the same time. You get nothing done.
Right.
But if you get in sync with the program, look what you can do. And so, children, get in sync with mama. Get in sync with daddy. Right? Sisters, get in sync with the gift of God in your life, the way it moves and pulsates and how you have cycles in your life where you're burdened to pray more for your children, and then there's a time whenever you feel better about it. Get in the cycle, and when those burdens come, take them to God and exercise those things before him fervently. Right. It's all God's program. Amen? You believe it?
Amen.
So, I know probably didn't say anything you didn't know, but I wanted to take today and honor our sisters and tell you, well, we do honor you all the time. We love you. I appreciate all that you do, and know that you may not change the whole world, but you can change a portion of it. And you certainly have changed a portion of the lives of the people in this church and the lives of the children in this church. Amen. So God bless you, and we'll have the musicians come up. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of the service now, we want to just take this moment, Lord, to thank you for this opportunity, and to thank you, Lord, for your word, what you have done, and thank you, Lord, for your gifts that you have put among your church and among your people. Lord, as we've spoken here this morning, we give honor to the gift of motherhood for what it is to be among us, Lord, and to be godly. We know that, Lord, that Satan has went out and attacked motherhood, and it's just about gone throughout the world and this nation. But Lord, we believe here in this church and this assembly, because of your word and because of your message, it has produced godly mothers. And we just want to be on record before you, Lord, just saying thank you for sending your gifts among us, Lord, that our families in this church can be strong families. And Lord, that as we go forward, these effects of good motherhood, Lord, it'll just help this church and assembly and families for many, many years to come, should you tarry. We thank you for it, Lord, and we're asking, God, that your Holy Spirit just would impart to our sisters a special blessing today. May this entire day just be full of the joys of the Lord. And God, this may your hands be around each one, Lord, that they would just know that they're loved and respected and appreciated. We thank you, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a song before we go. So remember the Wheeler family traveling back. Amen. And so, I was going to talk about the starting time for service on the first Sunday in June, but I'll not do it from here. We can do it back there in the back or whatever, but need to firm up on that. So let's worship the Lord.
Oh, Jesus, God.